ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it's that time of week here on the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Bee Pipe membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. He's going to do a couple segments with us, go extra with us, just like Jared Stillman did. We appreciate that, TD. But I got to ask you, TD, first of all, did you hear Jared's take that he just had?
No, I didn't hear his take. I was not tuned in this morning.
Okay.
I missed it. What did he say?
Oh, we got a good one. Oh, we got a beauty here. So essentially, to boil it down, I want to make sure I'm being fair and accurate, because we know – you know, Jared likes to take people's takes and kind of twist them a little bit and things like that. But essentially, he is saying that Joe Burrow is so great that he's a situation-proof quarterback who could go into any situation and thrive, whereas Patrick Mahomes would not be a situation-proof quarterback, a guy who, you know, depended on Andy Reid and all that they've done for him to make him what he is, which is great today. So I'll give him that. But essentially that, though, as prospects, one of them was situation proof and one of them wasn't, which really is, the more I think about it, TD, it's actually one of the dumbest things I've heard from him. Well, I mean, it's top like 40. It's Casey Kasem top 40, which is still, I'd say, pretty impressive.
Wow. I didn't realize it was Andy Reid on that hurt ankle that, you know, broke the pocket and scrambled 30 or so yards to set up that, you know, game-winning field goal in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Well, that's the thing. He's had some bad stuff.
I didn't realize it was Andy Reid, you know, making those throws to guys who wouldn't start on a lot of other okay.
Well, you know what? So another part of this argument, and I'd love your thought on this, because it is an interesting career path here for this guy who came onto the scene 5 years ago. It was like out of nowhere. Who is this young guy who's just, I mean, shoot, he was in his 20s. He was 29 years old. Joe Brady, right? LSU, everything. You're talking about an incredible – it's one of the best college football teams I've ever seen, maybe the best college football offense I've ever seen. And Burrow is, I mean, he's the number one pick for a reason, but incredible line, receivers, everything. But Brady also completely changed the offense, got all this credit, deserved credit, in my mind, for what he did with that talent, with Joe Burrow, with all that. And, of course, it didn't work out in Carolina. Now he's with the Bills. What do you think of Joe Brady, and where do you think it's going for him from here?
Yeah, I mean, that's someone else you got to look. I mean, they didn't really have much to work with there in Carolina, but that LSU offense was, man, they were rolling, and they never took their foot off the gas once they were up on you. They kept accelerating. So in Buffalo, right, they're trying to get things back together. It was a little chaotic last year, and, you know, they're working in new weapons this year. But I think Joe Brady's a really good OC. I wouldn't say that he made Joe Burrow. I think it was, you know, a situation where you had a guy that, you know, he got really better over time. And all of the weapons, like, it was just the perfect storm in LSU. So, yeah, I wouldn't credit, you know, Joe Brady with making Joe Burrow. And I don't credit Andy Reid with making Patrick Mahomes, because both of those guys, they're really good. They're one and two, if you ask me, when you're talking about quarterbacks. And Mahomes is number one, and then there's a big space, and then there's Joe Burrow.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. I mean, you know, yeah, Joe Brady didn't make Joe Burrow, not at all, but it's all – these guys are all – I do believe that they're all to a point dependent on conditions, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's where it's like it's always hard to – like, how many – I watched Patrick Mahomes play, and I believe that he could probably overcome as much as anyone who's ever played the position. I just because of his creativity and just his skill set and his competitiveness, I think that he could probably overcome bad situations more than any quarterback I've ever seen play in this league. And I'm with you. He's one, and then there's a gap. But I do believe, like, I absolutely also believe that it was huge for him to sit. And it was huge for Andy Reid was great for him, and it's been a great partnership. You know, it's a team sport, TD, that we're so obsessed with that position, you know, that I think sometimes it is hard to separate the conditions from the actual player. But I guess if we take that to the Titans conversation now with Will Levis, you know, we talked a lot this week about, obviously, Levis, the mistakes. He's got to play better, no question. It hasn't been good. The offensive line also hasn't been good. I mean, the pressure, I think it's the most pressures in the NFL. Like, how do you view, and of course, you have a first-time head coach and play caller, how do you view just the conditions for Levis so far through two games?
Yeah, I think the conditions are fine. Obviously, he's getting pressure, and you have those things, but I think he's actually held up solid. I don't think he's played enough to say, hey, get him out of there and look to the draft. I don't think that's the case, but he hasn't played well enough to say, hey, you know, this is the guy moving forward, you know, after this year, et cetera. So you look at the conditions. I mean, he's got weapons. Yeah, you know, there are pressures. I don't put first-year play caller. I think Brian Callahan has set him up in ways to be able to excel. I think, you know, Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, those guys, you know, putting together those plays, their play design. I mean, if you go back and you watch, you know, some of the All-22, there's guys running open, you know, but it just doesn't always get the ball to them because of, you know, this or that. So for me, Will Levis, he's not in a bad situation at all. He's not in one that I think should produce a bad season. I think he's straight as far as that's concerned.
What about just, now that he's had, you know, they've lost two games, each of them has been marked by, you know, the mistake, the killer mistake that, you know, so much has been made of both of them, and with, you know, with good reason. Where do you think he is in terms of responding to that? Because I've thought, we talked earlier this week, Robbie and I, about, you know, the sometimes that can make someone too cautious in some situations. I mean, obviously, everybody's like, do not make another death mistake, you know, ridiculous turnover. But also, like, you have to make some throws into tight windows and take some chances to be successful in this league.
And that's the enigma of Will Levis, right? You know, and I really like the fact you look later in the game, right? He didn't give up on that play when the pocket was collapsing and you thought he was going to take the sack and he was able to scramble, you know, for 13 yards, right? That's a good example of, okay, he still has that balance of hero in him. It's not going to be gone. And that was, you know, just a couple quarters after his ridiculous mistake. So I think it's still going to be there. I say this, though. Go back and watch the Dolphins game last year because, you know, that was an example of things where you say, no, don't do it. And then he does, and you're like, oh, that was a good play. You know what I mean? Right. So it kind of balances out, and I put it this way. It's the cost of doing business, right? Those mistakes are the cost of doing business because there's going to be times where he makes a play like that, and you're like you look at the Dolphins game, for example. You know, he was running about to get sacked, and he underhanded the ball to Tajay Spears, and Spears picked up like 8 yards, and it was a critical first down. You know, or you look at that second to the last touchdown where he's running to his right, and DeAndre Hopkins does a great job.
Throw across his body.
Across his body, and it's a touchdown. Like, you got those plays that happen too, and everybody's like, oh, well, if that was Patrick Mahomes, it would be all over SportsCenter, right? So it's like you have – it's the balance that you have to endure. And that's just – I mean, when you have a guy like that, that's what you get.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring up – because it's like the TD pass to Ridley, and I think I might have said – you know, we were talking about it in the press box, but it's like that throw is like if it was Mahomes or Burrow, one of the, it'd be like, oh, my God, look at the ball placement, like the only spot you throw it. But, of course – with a guy like Levis, it's like, oh, God, he got lucky on that one, right? I mean, it's like – and I get it. Like, you know, you have to earn that where people are like, oh, he actually meant to do that, or, you know, this is what he does on a regular basis. But I could make an argument that was an incredible throw.
Yeah. Or even the throw to Tony Pollard, right? I mean, that was a really good throw. And yeah, the safety ended up crushing him. But, I mean, like, when he threw it, the safety had to travel an awful long way to get to the football, but it was, you know, thrown the exact way, gave Pollard a chance to run under it. So, I mean, yeah, he makes some throws, and that's the maddening thing about Levis. Like, he'll make a throw, and you'll be like, yeah, this is why I wanted to coach him. And then he'll make another throw, and he'll be like, just what Callahan said, right on TV.
Right, exactly. All right, when we come back with Teron Davenport, we're going to get into the Titans defense and the game plan with a Packers quarterback question. But first, I do want to give a pair of tickets away. Nashville Oktoberfest by Centennial Capital Mall State Park, Sunday, October 6th. These VIP tickets include unlimited beer and wine in the VIP area, a 1 liter beer stein, German food, private seating, luxury bathrooms. Let's say caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. We'll be back with Teron Davenport, Robbie and Rex Road. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk. Pregame 5:20, first pitch 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Sounds of Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road here, 102.5, 106 through the game. Another segment with Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, Titans reporter. So, TD, it's Levis, as we know. And it's going to be a huge, huge game for him. But I do want to get to the other side of the ball. I mean, it looks like Jordan Love, there's a pretty good chance. I still have my skepticism on, you know, even if I think the knee's sound or he's not practicing to the extent he is, but I would still be a bit hesitant if I were Matt LaFleur, just on his mobility. And, yeah. Is he able to do everything at the highest level, which is part of protecting yourself, is escaping and sliding and all these things? And maybe can you get by another week with Malik Willis and have the same kind of game you had last week and, be fine and then have Jordan Love ready for what's shaping up to be a really big game against Minnesota? How are you viewing this situation?
Yeah, I look at it the same. I think the big thing is they need to feel confident that he could protect himself. That's the main thing. And so this is a team, the Titans, you know, they like to attack. And I'm sure that Matt LaFleur has watched both games and they've been heavy on blitzing and things like that. So you do have to make sure that he can protect himself and that knee doesn't get any worse. I think it's remarkable that he's back to where he is, right, and moving the way he is. But I just don't know that it's good enough. And I do think they're going to save him for next week. But we'll see, right? They said it's going to be all the way up until 90 minutes. So, you know, we'll have to make sure we're watching pregame, you know, to see what Jordan Love is doing.
Okay, so if you're Denard Wilson, obviously if it's clear that Jordan Love's out, I mean, you can dig in on what they did last week. They got single wing stuff in there and, you know, they did some cool stuff. But you can dig in on that and say, look, guys, Josh Jacobs does not trample us. We got to be ready for this and this and this. They're going to boot Malik Willis here and there and run some play action. But, you know, this is the game plan. Very simple. And I think I'd like the Titans' chances a lot, frankly. I think that's one of those things where you spring it on the Colts and at home and you kind of get it going and your defense is playing well and it's a little different on the road. But if you're Denard Wilson, then how do you deal with a week like this when, obviously, if Jordan Love's in, it's a totally different offense and totally different type of challenge?
Yeah, you know, I still prepare the same. I think even if Jordan Love's in, I still don't trust his mobility, right? And so I attack it the same way, right? You know, in essence, you want to force the pass game to beat you. And you do that by having that caged rush. You want to keep the quarterback in the pocket, but at the same time, you want to get that pressure on him and get him on the move, make him uncomfortable. I think the attack should be just the same as it was in the last two games. And you saw there were times where they tried to trap Aaron Rodgers into making a throw, but him being a savvy veteran, he peeped it. And he was like, oh, you know what? On this play, I may just have to take the sack. You know what I mean? And it happened a couple of times. One of Landry's sacks was like that. So I think really it's all about just making sure these linebackers, right, and the safeties, they got to stay disciplined with their eyes and make sure that they don't, you know, run themselves out of a gap, you know, up front, and make sure that they don't, you know, run themselves out of the play, because you're going to see some misdirection. And then, you know, just the gap scheme, the power that they like to do, you know, they want their offensive line to move guys out of the way. And they're going to run to the outside, which is where the Titans have the weakness. So, you know, to me, The game plan is stop the run by disciplined eyes, setting the edge, and then also swarm it to the football, or as Denard Wilson says, populate to the ball, because those are the ways you're going to get those turnovers that are just, you know, avoiding them. I mean, this team is -4 in turnover ratio. That's dead last in the league. The Packers, they're +4, and that's tops in the league. So something is going to have to change in the turnover department if they want to win.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they have to accept. Yeah, the defense played very well overall, but you do have to find a way to get the ball back, I mean, especially when your offense is giving it away. I mean, it's you know, I mean, it's just more pressure on them, but that's the reality of the situation. I thought Denard Wilson had some interesting comments also yesterday, TD, on Jeff Simmons, who, you know, I mean, I guess I'd like to see more from Jeff, more plays, but there are plays where if he's picking, or you know, if he's occupying multiple people and Harold Landry gets a sack, you have to acknowledge that. And I just thought, you know, the one point he made was like every team, their game plan basically starts with Jeff Simmons. But how do you think he's played so far?
Yeah, I think he's played solid. You definitely need to see more production, though. I mean, and, you know, I'm as big on Jeff Simmons as anybody is, but – okay, get the sack, you know, get the tip pass to cause an interception. He's impacting the quarterback, though, you know, but it's just have some things that show up in the box score. And it's tough, though, because like Denard Wilson said, you know, he's always getting the slide, you know what I mean? So he's kind of like the sacrifice, you know, and that's why they have him as the shoot guy, and they're stunting around him, and that's how you saw Landry get a sack. You know, last week, right? And I thought it was interesting also where Wilson said that those guys, they could call their own stunts. You know, that's a nice bit of freedom that you see them having up front.
No, that was interesting. And you followed up on that, and that was very interesting. And what you want to see with the Titans, I mean, you want to see Tavondre Sweat increasingly make that a choice for teams, right? I mean, and that's the whole idea. I mean, if they're in conflict and it's like they, 93 and 98 are both such problems, then everybody else's job gets easier. So back on offense, TD, DeAndre Hopkins, I feel like one of the keys, along with certainly the offensive line getting better, but I feel like one of the keys for this offense is for Hopkins to resume being a key part of it. And, you know, of course, I guess it's not resume because this is a new offense, but obviously last year Levis and Hopkins had a good thing going. It did look to me at times last week like he just didn't look exactly like himself, but obviously he's out there playing. What is it more – because Callahan also said this week he's got to consider him more and he's got to have more plays where he's option one. How much of it do you think is that as opposed to just health that's not all the way there yet?
Yeah, I think in essence this is Hopkins, his preseason, honestly, his training camp. Right, because we know he was out for a bit, and you saw the snaps go from 15 to 26. It's not up in the 40s like the others receivers, so it definitely lets you know that he's not all the way back where he needs to be, even though he's out there. But my thing is just when you get him out there, maximize those snaps. And one thing that Callahan did say is that he has called some plays where he was the first option. But for whatever reason, whether the defense took it away or, you know, Levis worked through the read quickly to the next progression, it didn't get the ball to him, you know. So I think the big thing is about not as much how many snaps he's getting, but maximizing those snaps when he's out there. And he's clearly not, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins that we know of, because you do see him laboring a little bit in some of the routes. But still, when he's out there and able to hit it the way he used to on those occasional reps, that's when you got to take advantage.
And I'm assuming, I mean, Jaire Alexander is probably going to see a lot of Ridley, right? I mean, that's what I would expect in this game.
I would imagine, man, I love Jaire Alexander.
Great player.
I love his game, and he's so feisty, man. I love it. I love it. So I can't wait to see this game this weekend. Looking forward to talking to him before the game, too. If you go back and watch the Eagles game, he traveled a bit with AJ, and you know, and that's knowing that Devontae Smith is on the other side. So, I would imagine you know he'll travel actually with Ridley if he does travel at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Finish it up here, TD. Back to Levis. Always goes back to Levis. Mm-hmm. What what is your thought just on the if it continues to be rough, if you can continue to have bad mistakes and you're just not playing well? I mean, I thought he played better in week two, but it's still not good enough. If you're Brian Callen, is it like, look, this season is Levis, it's about Levis, or if this defense keeps playing well and it's like, well, gee, this team could be 3-0 but for the quarterback screwing things up, and obviously there's also the punt blocks and all that too, but still, we focus on the quarterback. Like, is there a point where Brian Callen has to consider the locker room?
That's the whole balance, and that's the task that Callahan is unfortunately working towards facing. Now, if I'm him, I hope Will Levis has a big game. That would be my hope. I want Will Levis to have a big game if I'm Brian Callahan, because, you know, if he gets to the point where the guys in the locker room are like, hey, man, you know, we're putting in all this work, and this guy is not giving us the best chance, and you're still rolling with him, that's a problem, right? And it's not going to be said outright, but you'll start to be able to feel those things, you know, and that's the thing that he has to figure out. And if he gets to that, he's going to strongly have to consider benching Levis, you know, if he gets to that. We'll see. It's only two games in, and just in talking to the guys, you know, the defense, you know, they still have confidence in Levis. So I guess we're just going to have to see. They understand it's early, and, I mean, things can turn around, but they could also get worse. So to answer your question, it's something he absolutely has to consider.
No doubt. All right, Teron Davenport, TD, ESPN, NFL Nation, thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate you going OT with us, and we'll see you Sunday.
That's right. We did extended innings like Edwin Diaz, man. Let's go Mets.
There we go. Nice. By the way, the Tigers are coming, baby. Tigers might make the playoffs. Get excited. All right, Teron Davenport, we'll see you Sunday at Titans-Packers. And we come back, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.